avoiding confusion, and starting with the cornerstone, there is much conversation in our world today regarding significant issues such as the origin of life, the existence of God, the reliability of the Bible, and many similar topics. The conflicting ideas surrounding these topics can easily cause confusion in the hearts and minds of those who are seeking truth. You know, many people come in and they have questions. They've been confused, and you know, where do you stand? What is the truth? And it's out of Isaiah, truth's fallen in the street. So it's hard to find out in the street. Hopefully they find it when they come in to the church. One thing that immediately becomes clear in discussions over significant topics is that the worldview or the viewpoint with which one approaches any issue shapes how he or she sees the available information related to the issue. We just had a talk on the way to church, you know, and on just some of the stuff. And it just depends on your original point of view on how you take some information that comes in and how you read it and how you interpret it. And it causes confusion if you're not real careful. You know, everyone who needs glasses or contacts understands the difference between their vision when wearing corrective lenses or not wearing them. You see quite a few glasses around here. I would wear glasses if I didn't have the eye surgery and all. You know, I remember, and I talked, I think, Sister Nancy last week. Second grade, I got my first pair of glasses. And on the way home, I said, there's leaves on that tree. You know, I just thought a tree was a green blob, you know. And I think my mother started crying. She felt so bad, you know. But that's just so true. Things can blur together until you get that clear vision, the clear lens to look through. So if your vision is blurry or distorted, when you put glasses on, everything looks different, clearer, and truer to reality. In this series, we're going to use God's Word as a lens through which we look at the important issues of our day. We want to see the world as Jesus sees the world. We want to look through His glasses, if you will. That's why it's so important that we, as Christians, develop a biblical worldview as we approach the various topics of life. One way that we can understand the important, one way you can understand the importance of a biblical worldview is to think in terms of a foundation, and specifically the cornerstone of the foundation. You can see there in the picture that it's in the corner. It's the biggest stone. It's very squared. And in New Testament times, a cornerstone was the foundation stone that was laid first and against which the rest of the foundation was laid. Place that first, and then you bring in the other ones alongside and on top. Well, the cornerstone was the biggest stone in the foundation. It was unmovable once it was set in place. And I love throwing in some of our old pictures from our trip to Israel. And you can see the temple, the rebuilt temple's on the left. And you can see the size of that stone with a person standing there and everything. And I thought, well, that's pretty impressive. It's underground, the years of sand and soil building up around. But then the next one, this is the actual cornerstone. We kind of turned a corner and he brought us to the, and you can see just how big that stone is, going, you know, halfway down the left to the right. And again, that's a big stone, you know, standing. But then you go to the next one, or to the cornerstone, it's just that much bigger and set there. I don't know how they got it there, you know, but they did. And they set it. And then, and you've seen pictures of how big that temple is, and, you know, how, you know, it took a whole army of the Babylonians to tear it down. That thing was built to last. Well, when Jesus is your cornerstone, your life fits together the way God intended. And I love this picture of the cornerstone, you know, actually in the shape of a cross. If Jesus is our cornerstone, then the rest of our building, our personal building, our church building, being the people, we'll fall in line with that. In fact, when you consider the various topics that we will look at through this series, topics such as the presence of evil, social justice, the role of marriage, the significance of gender, and more, you see them differently than the world does when you begin with the foundational truths of God's Word. For instance, the Bible tells us the following is true. You are made in the image of God. Thank you, Lord. God has stamped his awareness on our conscience. You have a purpose because you were made by a divine designer. You know, people design things to have a purpose, and we have one in the Lord. These statements are directly opposite to how the world views life. But God's word gives a clearer worldview. Notice the contrast in this chart. If you can read those, we have God's view on the left, secular view on the right. We'll look at each of these terms here real quickly. While God's view defines the purpose of a man as bringing glory to God, secularism says we exist to glorify ourselves. You know, just do it. What do you, make yourself happy versus making God happy. God, who is holy, desires his people to live holy lives. But the world says that happiness must be our one goal in life. Just do what feels good. Be happy. Don't worry. God tells us that he has given us an absolute truth in the pages of his word. But secularism says instead that everything is relative and claims that truth is based on each individual's preference, upbringing, or opinion. In other words, it's fine to have your own perspective, your own personal view of how the world should be. God tells us that our emotions are a byproduct of our beliefs and our actions. Thus, we are to obey God first and let our emotions eventually catch up. The world tells us, however, to seek pleasurable emotions above all, even if that means disobeying God to satisfy our desires. Well, that going on. The Bible teaches that all of us are sinners and responsible before God for our sin. The world tells us that everything bad in our lives is someone else's fault. You know, they made me do it. You know, I can blame them. God tells us that we need forgiveness and thus need Jesus as our Savior. The world tells us that man is good enough and needs no forgiveness. It's okay. We're all okay. I'm okay. You're okay. You know, think about some of the famous books that have come out on that kind of stuff. Well, the Bible teaches us to acknowledge our sin and turn back to God. Repent. That's repentance. But the world teaches us to tolerate any practice of ours or others, whether or not God calls it sinful. The worldview is set forth by secular people, takes God out of history. It denies his absolutes and overall insists that man knows better than God, or even that God doesn't exist. So why follow anything you think he might have to say? Sadly, it's not just the secular world that embraces a secular worldview. Some churches, perhaps trying to be more relatable to our culture, fail to declare the absolute truth of Scripture. Interestingly enough, the more the churches emphasize relativism, the more people flee Christianity. You know, don't need that. I'm not getting anything different than I get when I turn on anything else. There's a study by Johnson, Hoagie, and Ludens tracked the decline of mainline denominations. Their specific research on the Presbyterian Church USA led to the conclusion that the primary reason for the decline was the laity's lack of conviction that Jesus alone was the means of salvation. Any theological departure from the centrality of Jesus Christ will always be catastrophic. And I don't know if you can see it, but from the line, there's five different nations on the top that have actually grown in religion. And but then there's 39 down below that have fallen further away. Guess who the very bottom one, the farthest away, is? United States. And Russia is actually one of the top five. You know, some of those unsaved places that have gotten more religion. And U.S. that had it all has actually fallen away further. And just from, 2007 to 2019, in that 12-year period. Incredible. So how can we avoid the slide of relativism? Build on the rock of Jesus Christ, and you will stand. We need to build on the rock and stand there. In these turbulent days, as our world turns its back on Christianity, it's more important than ever that we understand and embrace a biblical worldview. There's a quote from Robert Albert Mohler. It says, "The decline of Christian identity is particularly pronounced among younger Americans, and fully one-third of those aged 35 and younger report no religious affiliation." None at all. Over a third. Good to see some young people out here, you know, and the job Jamie's doing, because there's so many doors we've gone on, and you'll, somebody under 35, they've never been to a church, and they've even heard of Jesus. It's amazing in America that we find that many people that just don't have an idea about it. For many people, even professing Christians, Jesus is simply a convenience of life, not their cornerstone. If Jesus is not your cornerstone, your life will eventually crumble, just like a building will without a good cornerstone. But the Bible tells us in our text for today's study that when Jesus is our cornerstone, our life will be steadfast. There again, our scriptures this morning. Now there in Ephesians 2. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Great and wise words there. So we'll look at three aspects of Christ as our cornerstone this morning. First is the reliability of the cornerstone. Follow along on your worksheet. You can fill that in. The reliability of the cornerstone. A cornerstone is the first piece of any structure, and it must be carefully set so that everything else can be laid against it. If the cornerstone isn't located properly, everything measured from its location will also be in the wrong place. Conversely, if the cornerstone is located correctly, then everything will fit together and remain solid. For this reason, this cornerstone is costly and important. We see an example of this in the building of the Old Testament temple. There on your worksheet, 1 Kings 5:17. "And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house." They spent some money getting it started correctly. Why must the cornerstone be reliable? Well, letter A is for identity. It's for identity. The size and the quality of the stone establishes the identity of the structure that is about to be built. The cornerstone represents the starting place. For this reason, it is sometimes called the foundation stone. It is a piece of the building that is essential to the integrity of the entire building. Cornerstones are carefully selected, accurately cut, and precisely placed in order to build a structure. Another pick, you know, it's amazing how they did that with the straight lines and how square they were. You know, it baffles some construction people and scientists even today, just how accurately they would do some of these old stones. All measurements are taken from the cornerstone. The more elaborate the structure, the costlier the cornerstone. The cornerstone of the Christian faith is Jesus Christ. And the foundational truth of Christianity is that Jesus is God in the flesh, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. Christ's atonement for us is the only hope for sinners and is the rock on which our hope is built. And if you haven't accepted that fact this morning, if you're here or online seeing that, please reach out to us so we can show you how you can get Jesus as your cornerstone. The church is a building, being the people, fitly joined together with Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, holding all of us together and all aligned up. On your worksheet, 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." I like that, to think that. You know, that's why we need each other. You take a piece out, the wall gets weaker. You know, and we all have something to do there. Jesus Christ must be the cornerstone of every church, the one person that the church cannot exist without, the standard by which everything is measured, for we find our identity in him. And reliability is for unity. Letter B is for unity. When Jesus as the cornerstone is the church, Christians are the other stones that build the spiritual house of the church. You know, you like to think of the pastor being the next stone, you know, and the other pastors, and then, you know, and you just keep fitting in and, you know, and keeping things straight and aligned up. They're on the worksheet, Ephesians 2:21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Wow. And all get together to get lumped together and to bring him glory. We're his holy temple. The Bible tells us that we are fitly framed together. This phrase means to join closely together, to frame together parts of a building so as exactly to fit together. It speaks of the unity we are to have in Christ. You know, Wednesday night we talked about it's important to have the right unity. There was 150 crazies that got united together expecting God to come back in a spaceship on March 1st, 1998. And, you know, and just, so just being of the same mind doesn't necessarily make us correct. You know, we want to have the truth that we unite around. To be unified as a single spiritual house, we must be fit together to correct relation with each other, and especially then to Jesus Christ. Part of this connection is the shared doctrinal unity we have through God's Word. We look to God's Word for where we get the truth. 1 Peter 2 tells us that it's our belief in Christ that connects us to Him as our cornerstone. It's there on your worksheet, 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Will not be confused if we're locked into him as our cornerstone. Just as bricks and mortar are precisely placed around the cornerstone of a building, so our lives must be permanently bonded to Jesus Christ through salvation and kept in a precise relationship with him. Additionally, when we are rightly connected to Christ as our cornerstone, we will also be rightly connected to other Christians in our church family. Ephesians 4, 15 through 16 there. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A lot more building metaphors, you know, than you might realize. That, you know, us people as the church and bound together, just like a building. And to have that strength together. The stronger, you know, our bond, the stronger we're going to be, as long as we have the right cornerstone. It's in our giving, our singing, and paying attention to the Word of God. We, as a spiritual house, are offering up sacrifices to Jesus Christ, the owner of the house. That's what brings us together with a common identity and unity. And it is letter C for direction. The cornerstone gives direction. As we mentioned a moment ago, the cornerstone was one against which all other stones were set. If the cornerstone was crooked, the angles of construction for the rest of the building would be crooked. With Christ as the church's cornerstone, we can be sure that the direction is set properly. It's God, Jesus' fault if we go offline. You know, we set the stone sideways or at an angle. That's on us. It's not on him. He's a perfectly set cornerstone. What's important then is for the church to follow the pattern that has been laid in Scripture, and that its direction comes from Christ alone. There's a quote from G. Campbell Morgan. The church of God, apart from the person of Jesus Christ, is a useless structure. And again, that's just referring to us as the people of the church. You know, if we're apart from it, we're just useless. Yeah, we could be waiting for the UFO to bring somebody back. I mean, it's just such a good example. Our cornerstone is reliable. We can be sure that when we trust Christ as our Savior, we have a sure foundation. And we can be sure that when we align our views to settled truth, as revealed in the Word of God, we have a sure foundation. We have everything we need, all the mortar we can need, and have a sure foundation. So, the Word gives us, number two, the revelation of the cornerstone. The revelation of the cornerstone. Our text passage reveals specifics about Jesus as our cornerstone and about the foundation surrounding the cornerstone. Letter A, it gives us the identity of the foundation. Every construction worker knows that a building without a strong foundation is useless and will eventually fall. And we've seen that in the apartments in Florida and, you know, all over the place. You know, things crumble if not built properly. As Christians, if we build our lives on anything but the foundation given to us by God, our lives will crumble. When Christ built the New Testament church, he chose to use the apostles and prophets as the foundation. They're at Ephesians 2:20 again. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The prophets refer to the Old Testament prophets, and the apostles refer to the disciples of Christ, minus Judas and plus Paul. God uses both of these groups of men to give us the foundational truths of the Word of God. In fact, this is what the phrase apostles and prophets in our text is referring to, the truths and the doctrines God used them to preach and to write. The church is built upon the apostles and prophets because they are the ones who were used by God to reveal the doctrines to us through the Word of God. Acts 2:42 there. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And again, it just makes sense that the apostles were the closest to him. You know, Jesus gave all the older prophets the word and what to say and all that. And then the apostles around him, you know, they were they just kept building the building of the church around that start. Albert Barnes said, the doctrines which they taught are the basis on which the church rests. Really comes down to the word.
That's right.
We're resting on that. God knew that his church would be adrift and in ruins without clearly revealed truth. So he set the foundation for our lives through his word. Without it, the church has no reason to exist, no purpose to live for, and no vision to discern truth from error. The mighty works of God in the early church came about as a result of being built on the right foundation, the one foundation given by God. So we have the apostles and the prophets through his word. And, letter B, we have the identity of the cornerstone. The identity of the cornerstone. I'm sure you already have guessed what the answer to that one is. We already saw that Jesus is the only cornerstone for the church. What was amazing for first century believers, however, was that Jesus' role as the cornerstone had been foretold by Old Testament prophets. There are a couple there in the worksheet, Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay a Zion, a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. In Psalm 118:21-2, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Wow. Jesus, the virgin-born yet eternal Son of God, was ordained by God to be the cornerstone. And Jesus himself validated this in a conversation with the Pharisees. There in Matthew 21:42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Wow. These words of Jesus angered the Pharisees and incited them to seek for a way to kill Jesus because they understood that he was identifying himself as the Messiah. It angers our worldview even now to say he is it. But although the Pharisees rejected Christ, those of us who have received him as our Savior believe he is precious and have our lives built on a sure foundation. But Satan's influence brings us, three, the rejection of the cornerstone. We see the rejection. We've seen it, and we are seeing it. The world hates Christianity, and especially Jesus Christ, because the Christian faith allows for no other way to God apart from Jesus Christ alone. Though it pains us to see Jesus rejected and mocked in today's culture, it's nothing new. It's just nothing new. He was letter A, he was rejected in history. He was rejected in history. Jesus has been rejected all throughout history. Think of the days of Noah, when the whole earth, except Noah's wife, sons, and daughters-in-law, scoffed at the preaching of Noah. Think of the Israelites throughout the centuries who rejected the messages of the prophets. And consider the Jewish nation itself in the first century who saw Jesus in the flesh and still looked for some other Savior. Peter addressed this rejection before the high priest and his fellow religious leaders after they had arrested Peter and John on the sole grounds of their preaching truth of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:10-12 on the worksheet. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Been the message the whole time and rejected. In the time period that would seem most likely for all the people to embrace Jesus and his truth, the whole religious system of the Jews blatantly rejected him. You know, I know the pastor shared on that. They should have all been looking, you know, and like all the prophets that wouldn't go see the birthplace even, you know, and it's just amazing that they knew he was coming. Prophet, they believed the prophets. They just didn't believe it was being fulfilled. Though they'd been physically in his presence, they refused him and his truth. All throughout history, Jesus has been rejected. Because of this, people have tried desperately and failed consistently to build their lives without a cornerstone. And we see him crumbling. Well, and letter B, he's rejected in our day, as we all know just as well. The rejection of the cornerstone is one area in which we would like to see history stop repeating itself, but it doesn't. Daily, people in our world reject Jesus and turn away from any vestiges of the revealed truth of God. Seems like they can't get away quick enough sometimes. There's a quote by Lee Strobel. Many people consider it arrogant, narrow-minded, and bigoted for Christians to contend that the only path to God must go through Jesus of Nazareth. In a day of religious pluralism and tolerance, this exclusivity claim is politically incorrect, a verbal slap in the face of the other belief systems. Certainly wouldn't want to offend anybody, even if it's the truth. Boy, this is the heart of our culture. But as people reject Christ, they must erect gods of their own. You know, they say they don't believe, but they're erecting some god of their own if they reject Jesus. So they worship falsehoods and join together to celebrate false unity that rejects the cornerstone. They're in the worksheet, Deuteronomy 32, 31, and 2. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Wow. And yet that's what they go after. It's incredible. Every god of this world is false because it rejects the only true cornerstone. And the end result of false worship is bitter and destructive. And we see it all around us, see it all the time. Take a look at two of the major anti-Christian ideologies that people subscribe to, humanism and liberalism. And that we're not talking political when we say the liberals, but even though it's probably related. I didn't say that. Humanism is appropriately named. It is man's own self as a god. Take a casual glance at the motto of the American Humanist Association, and you'll have no question about the identity of their cornerstone. They say it's good without a god. The American Humanist has produced the Humanist Manifesto number 2, which reads, "As non-theists, we begin with humans, not God, with nature, not deity." Signed by many of the highest levels of academia, it is a bold statement of the independence from God. You don't want to have anything to do. Take him out of everything. They got him out of the schools, and so now try to get him out of churches. Heaven forbid. Humanists have chosen to be their own cornerstone. Sadly, many people in our world, even if they are not familiar with the title of humanism, are functioning humanists. They believe in themselves and ignore or scorn God. Over the years, this trajectory in our culture has created a hatred toward Christian truth and a rejection of God or the Bible as any kind of authority for life. But although the world despises Jesus, to those of us who know him, he is precious. 1 Peter 2:7 says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Doesn't matter what they say or think about him, he's still there. He is still the head of the corner, our head. Liberalism is another worldview that rejects Christ as the cornerstone. Despite its openness to new ideologies and insistence on tolerance, its adherents are willing to accept every worldview except God's. Sadly, liberalism even reaches into the churches and church denominations that have not held to Scripture as their final authority. The United Church of Canada goes on, you know, we probably all saw this lately in the news, that, you know, the pastor that proclaimed an atheist, and he had to discuss whether she could remain a pastor or not. Incredible. Incredible stuff. Who would ever imagine that this sort of story being anywhere outside the pages of Alice in Wonderland? It's a fantasy land. And they even have to argue about it. And then they embrace it. They let her stay as pastor. It's exactly this kind of insanity that arises from people that reject the cornerstone and will accept any worldview but God's.
That's right.
Anything's okay except Jesus. Incredible. If Jesus is your cornerstone, you will unashamedly align your beliefs and your life to him. Romans 9:33. "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Nothing to be ashamed of if we're on the solid rock. The cornerstone is the great need of our lives in every church. Only a church firmly affixed to this cornerstone will stand fitly joined together through sickness, through war, through difficulty, riots, cancel culture, and everything else that comes. We can stand together through it. That's why it's so important to not forsake the assembling of together and just keeping linked up, keep in touch with the preaching of the truth of the Word of God. Okay. So, in conclusion, Jesus told a story about two men who built homes. Both built something that looked safe and sufficient to shelter them, but only one built a house that would last. And you can see the difference, going all the way down to the bedrock where the other stops on top of the sand. Why? Because one built his house on the sand while the other built his house on a rock. I've used this picture before, and I like this. This is Gilchrist, Texas, after Hurricane Ike. And it's only all those other houses that used to be there wiped out by the hurricane. except the one guy that prepared and built his foundation down to the rock and extra reinforced walls and in the roof. And pretty incredible story to read about that. Just like back in the day of Jesus, it's today too. Build on the rock. Jesus called the man who built on the rock a wise man. He had something solid upon which he built. Thus his house remained through the beating of rain, floods, and wind. But the man who foolishly built on the sand had his home destroyed. Matthew 7:24-7 there. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Oh, people, we need to build solidly on our rock for sure. And the winds are getting worse. The rains are getting more torrential. You know, the times are coming. The earth is going to shake. Be on the rock. Foolish men in our day build their lives on the sands of relativism, humanism, and liberalism. But lies built ologies disintegrate in the storm. They're there and they're gone. Wise men know that Jesus is the only true cornerstone, and they build their lives squarely on him. While these lives also encounter storms, they don't fall apart because they're built on a sure foundation. Yes, indeed. Unfortunately, the storms are coming. It's going to be an interesting year. I keep saying that, and you know, things are already warming up in different places. We don't know what to expect. Storms are going to come. Our focus needs to be on the Lord and on him as our cornerstone. Although cultures, ideologies, and relationships sometimes fail and disintegrate, Jesus never fails. How do you know what you're building your life on? It will consume you above all else. You know, is your worldview founded on Christ or on the relativism of this world? We need to keep, again, our focus, our view on him. If money is your cornerstone, you'll talk of it and read about it. If your career is your cornerstone, you'll stress over it. If race is your cornerstone, you'll make it your primary identity and your passion. If gender is your cornerstone, you'll march for it. We see that, again, all around us. And maybe some of us are involved on one side or the other of that very thing. And although there's nothing wrong with giving time and attention and diligence to your career, or caring about and involving yourself in various social needs of our day, there is something that matters much more than any of those things. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Although many Christians today are linking with humanists and atheists and liberals to fight for secular and sometimes ungodly causes, Christ calls us to join with him in preaching the gospel to a world in need of salvation. Jesus matters most. One thing to get this morning, Jesus matters most. Can we say this along with Pastor Chapel? And if there is one thing I want my life to be identified by, it is my relationship with Jesus. He is my cornerstone. Thus, I have chosen to build my life on his truth. Unquote. In coming weeks, we will study some of the specific issues current to today's discussions, including the ones we mentioned at the beginning of this study, topics such as the presence of evil, social justice, the role of marriage, the significance of gender, and more. We will lay out the biblical position on each of these topics. But the important thing to remember before we begin those topics is that if we blindly accept the world's philosophies on these, it will lead to confusion and to our drifting further and further from the revealed truth of God's word. This is why it's so important that Jesus is our cornerstone. And that's why we begin on that this morning and on that foundation. As we go through life, we will have many questions and needs. There will be many areas of potential confusion. but we can rest with certainty on Christ and the truths that he has revealed to us. Don't reject the cornerstone. Don't turn from Christ because of the pressure of society to conform to their way of thinking and to their belief systems. Though the world rejects him, God's word reveals him. And he is reliable, the only sure foundation. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, this just the many references to us, church, as a building, and all around the true cornerstone. Lord Jesus, thank you for being that cornerstone, coming down to just set the corners and the delineations for which us to follow. Lord, for just offering salvation to us, that we might join with each other and join with you as we look forward to your return and to spend eternity with you. Oh, Lord, help us to just think of you as that solid rock cornerstone that we can trust and rely on and want to align ourselves. Lord, just give us a new desire to be ever more lined up with you and your word and what you have for us. Continue to guide our pastor as he preaches the word and in the for the service to come, to just encourage us in that and strengthen us. Lord, we do need each other and we need to support each other. And what better way to start than knowing that we are supported by the true cornerstone. So thank you, Lord, for that word this morning. Just be with each one that came and bless all those that participated this morning. Be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, another foundational, the existence of God. You know, does he really exist? Hopefully none of you question that. But people are trying to get us to question that. I mean, that it's getting so prevalent, it's crazy. And we got time, a great song to finish with this morning that just says this in song, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." Stand with me, you're dismissed if you want, but enjoy the song, sing along with it, "On Christ the Solid Rock."